All right, Cavelli, we are in 2021, but it is still
Yay.
January. So I need to know, have you already broken your New Year's resolution?
I think I broke most of my New Year's resolutions by January 4th this year. So
Fair enough. I think 2021 hasn't been like the bright and shiny year that everyone thought it was going to be on when we hit midnight. So I can see
yeah.
how goals aren't working out this year.
I will definitely say, though, in the past year, I have been on time to work more than I've ever been in my entire life. So,
That's amazing.
yeah,
That's
chalk that up to COVID miracles.
Well, I also saw something about making resolutions you know that you're going to keep. So, my resolution that I know I'm going to keep is I will absolutely rewatch Bridgerton this year.
Well, it's good to set your goals high, aim high in that.
Thank you.
And I think one of our goals in our podcast this year that we can share with everybody is that we hope to continue to bring you great episodes this year.
That's true. That's true.
And I hope that every time we end the first part of our podcast, to have a really good bell joke.
Oh, do you have one today, or was that it?
That was it. I already
Oh,
broke
here's to
it.
improving.
So, Danny, today we're going to be talking about setting goals. Maybe we should think a little bit about what's our goal for the podcast this year?
Oh man, 1 million listeners? Is that a realistic?
Well, it's got to be something we haven't achieved already.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. 2 million listeners.
Yeah, I think it's 1 billion listeners this year.
That's a really good question. I don't know. I think something that we have been good at and that I want to continue to be good at is getting new guests on our show.
Well, we're lucky today that we are being joined by an expert in helping students to set goals.
Oh, all
So we'd
right.
like to welcome Rochelle Larkin to our podcast. Rochelle is currently in her third year of teaching, and she mostly teaches U.S. history to eighth graders, but she also teaches a seventh grade AVID class. She's in the Granite School District at Matheson Junior High, and we'd like to welcome Rochelle to our podcast.
Thanks for having me. Hello.
Yay, we're so glad to have you on here. And I taught AVID with back when I was in the classroom. So it was the elementary version. So I taught fourth grade AVID. So it'll be great to have an AVID teacher on here. So something we do, because your bio was exceptionally short, we need to learn more about you, Rochelle. So
Okay.
we have some questions from Utah students. Are you ready?
I am ready. Let's do
Yeah,
this.
and inquiring minds need to know a little bit more about you, Rochelle. So we're gonna get into the nitty-gritty here.
Okay, here's our first question.
What is your favorite movie?
Ooh, that's a tough one. It changes from, I don't know, week to week, whatever I watched recently, but I love like old, well, I don't know, romantic comedies probably. So things like Return to Me, things that can make me laugh and cry. That's probably my favorite one.
All right.
Return to Me is a
Yeah.
fantastic movie.
Yeah. I don't know that I've seen that one.
You should
Oh,
watch. This is like the
Danny.
story of like mine and Jared's work relationship is that I have not seen any good movies according to
From the late 90s, so
Rochelle, we play a game called Has Danny Seen It? And it's rarely that
it's
she's seen
probably no.
it.
Yeah, it's probably no. But it's good. Now I have another one for my list. Return to Me.
Just so you know, Danny. Return to Me stars X-Files David Duchovny and Minnie Driver. And it's a heartwarming tale about a young lady who gets a heart transplant and finds love.
Okay, I remember my parents talking about this one, so I will watch it. I love Minnie Driver from Good Will Hunting. So.
Fernando's wiping away a tear as he's remembering the movie.
I'm sure he is. I'll ask Jamie. Jamie loves to cry through a good
Oh,
rom-com.
Jamie would be, it's a six Kleenex movie for Jamie.
Okay, got it.
But
All
it's
right.
very funny too. It's not just a tearjerker.
Oh, that's good. Okay. All right, Rochelle. Next one.
If you could eat dinner with anyone alive, who could it be?
Can it be someone who's not alive anymore?
Sure.
Sure.
It would be Mr. Rogers. He is
Oh.
my hero. I think he's one of the greatest people that has ever lived. So I would love to sit down with him.
a great one. You're going to make everyone cry at some point on this podcast.
And I love that movie that they recently did about him as well. So
I need to watch that one too.
The one with Tom Hanks?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic movie. Jeez. Rochelle, you and I should be like spirit partners here.
We
like
should.
We're in like the same...
A movie watching club or something.
Yeah, like you and I have the same interest.
Your opinions on Jean-Claude Van Damme? This is a side question. This is not from a Utah student.
I am not sure I've ever seen a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie. I can't even say his name. I don't know
anything. All right. Well, now Rochelle's on my team. So
I think that question was gender biased.
I don't know.
Jean-Claude Van Damme is like the band Rush. It's not really popular with the ladies. It's more.
I was going to say, I think I have to be male to enjoy that.
Maybe, just maybe. Okay. Last question from one of Utah's students.
Would you rather go to the beach or New York City?
I will choose the beach every day.
Yeah.
I've been to New York and it's wonderful and neat to see. And I will definitely go again, but any chance I can get to the ocean, that's like my happy place. So.
That's awesome. What's your favorite beach? Do you have
one? I really like beaches in the Caribbean where it feels like bath water and it's mm-hmm. clear. You can see all the way down to your toes. So those kind of beaches. White awesome. Sand.
All right. Well, now I feel like I know more about you, Rochelle.
Perfect.
And we feel like we have kindred spirits in spite of the lack of Jean-Claude Van Damme knowledge.
Oh, good.
That's okay. We'll still accept you in our club.
Thank you.
Well, Rochelle, question for you. I mean, we introduced you as an AVID teacher, and I'm sure there's some of our listening audience that may not know a ton about the AVID program. Do you mind telling us just a little bit about the work that you do with kids in that program?
Sure. In a nutshell, AVID is a program that was, I think it's been around for several decades, but it started in some lower income schools, and it was kind of a program to help students reach goals of going to college and actually succeeding in school, these kids that maybe are a little disadvantaged. And so it's, in a nutshell, I guess it's a program that teaches kids study skills and how to prepare themselves for college, even starting in elementary school. So they learn how to take notes, how to be better writers, how to research things for themselves, how to research how to get into college, all of that kind of stuff.
You know, it's interesting. It seems like there's been a much bigger push on this for us to give students a lot more support and structure in how to be a student than there was when we were all students as kids, right? Like, it just seems like you either learned that on your own or from your parents, or that was not really something that was necessarily taught in schools. It seems like there's been a big push on this.
Yeah, I remember I didn't really know how to take good notes until I got to college, and I just kind of learned it by trial by error. So yeah, it's good to teach these kids these skills because it doesn't come naturally.
And it's funny too, because you think about it, like if no one really teaches you how to do it, the only way you'll do it is by watching other people. Mm-hmm. And people are not very organized. A lot of people are not organized. So to learn from like an older sibling or a parent may not always be the best way to learn how to be a successful student.
Right.
I think too, something I liked about AVID was, in addition to like the soft skills and the note taking and those kind of like student type skills, there were also just like really good like human type skills, like learning how to speak, have a conversation, how to advocate for yourself. I liked those sides of it as well.
Right.
And that's got to be something that I think with our modern digital age, especially think about this year where kids are shifting from online, in person, and doing a combination of everything. Boy, if you're not able to communicate effectively, you can really get lost in school because you may not be in person to have somebody advocate for you the same way that you did a few years ago.
Yeah. And what I really love is it helps build confidence because I think a lot of kids, they want to advocate for themselves, but they don't dare to speak up or say anything to a teacher or an adult. And so we give them a ton of opportunities to practice. And I can see their confidence going up as they practice those skills.
That's so great. So tell us, why should we be focusing on goal setting with students? Why is that something that in education we need to address?
Well, so what I see a lot with my students is they don't always make the connection between their effort and their outcomes. And so by having them set goals, it helps them think about what they really want, ultimately, whether it's in the short term or long term, and that they have to take actions. And if I especially like working with short-term goals, I like to do what I call week-long goals with the kids, because then they can see themselves taking those steps and they can see the connection. If I put in the effort, then I'm going to see some kind of result. And if they do that in tiny bits, then eventually they'll learn that skill. You know, if I want something bad enough, I have to work for it. It's not just going to happen for me.
Yeah. Is that, do you think, why a lot of our New Year's resolutions fail? Because yes. They're for a whole year?
Yes. I've been trying to lose 30 pounds for 3 New Year's resolutions and it's happening.
This is your resolution. It's your year.
Yes. I should just go week by week, 1 pound at a time.
There you go.
So I'm kind of curious, because it's interesting when we're talking about New Year's resolutions, like most of our culture kind of uses January as a time to set those goals. But in education, I would assume that you've already been working on this for months. Maybe yes. Tell us, how do you kind of get kids started with this at the beginning of a new school year?
Well, usually we tend to focus a little bit more on quarter by quarter. And as the quarter's about to end, that's when kids really feel that urgency to kick it into high gear.
So suddenly it's the end of the term and I need to be the A+ version of myself. just that last week.
Right. It's amazing to me how many kids come to me even on the last day. Like, what can I do to get my D to an A? It's like, well, it's probably too late for that. But, and so I try to teach them about the consequences of procrastinating, and we need to do, you know, take care of things earlier. And then setting these smaller goals. Midterm is also a good time to have them check in and see where they're at for the academically anyway.
So we don't want to procrastinate our first commercial break, and we're going to take that right now. And we'll be back just in just a few minutes as we're talking about how to set student goals and how to help students achieve their goals. We'll be right back.
Hey, Jared, have you ever been flipping through channels and stumbled onto a Japanese channel with English audio and subtitles?
Now that you mention it, I have done that. And I didn't know what it was.
Well, good. Well, I'm here to tell you that is NHK World Japan. Now, this channel offers the latest news from Japan and Asia, covers politics, economy, technology, culture, and more. Those are all of your favorite things, Jared Cavilli.
Especially when it comes to the economy of Asian countries.
Yeah, I know. We talk about it all the time. So NHK World Japan TV is free and available throughout the entire state of Utah. Viewers with Comcast Standard Analog or digital cable can find it on UEN TV channel 9.4.
Did I tell you that I actually have 2 televisions in my house that we use, the digital cable box?
Wow, you haven't told me that. How has that not come up before?
And I have seen NHK World Japan on channel 9.4.
Oh, perfect. Well, watch NHK World Japan on UEN TV today.
You won't regret it.
All right, we're here with Rochelle Larkin from Matheson Junior High, and we are talking about goal setting with students. So Rochelle, before the break, you were talking about how oftentimes at midterm or the end of this quarter, you talk about academic goals and that kind of thing. But with students, it's important to focus on more than just academic goals. What else do you focus on with your students?
So when I talk about setting goals with my students, I tell them it can be anything that's meaningful to them. Whatever matters to them is a great goal. It doesn't matter if it's, I'm not going to fight with my brother this week, or I want to learn to play the guitar, or I want to run a 10-minute mile, or whatever their goal is, that's great. I think every time we set out to achieve something and then accomplish that, it is a fantastic boost of confidence. It teaches us that we can do hard things, that we can be in control of our lives. So it doesn't matter if it's academics, music, sports, whatever is meaningful to them.
You know, Rochelle, it's interesting. I've done a lot of research over the years on goals and kind of especially financial goals. And one of the programs that I kind of follow, it always talks about trying to set small goals initially. You kind of mentioned this a little bit ago, instead of trying to set that year-long goal, like try and tackle something small in the beginning so that you can feel that success. Maybe tell us what you see when kids kind of feel that success of meeting some of their goals and what that looks like in your classroom as kids start to feel that, that they're accomplishing what they set out to do.
Well, one of my favorite things is when I see a student who normally does not do well in school and they kind of tend to sit back and not participate a lot. Sometimes we set goals as small as even I will answer question number one, or today I will stay awake in class, or whatever the goal might be. And if they accomplish that goal, I make a big deal out of it. I'm proud of you. You've reached your goal. And you can see them build upon that. And then it becomes where they're not doing, you know, like, duh, of course I can stay awake during class. And now I can do half of this assignment or whatever, baby steps. And so I love watching kids that are mostly apathetic about school start to see some success by baby steps.
I love that. And then, like you said, not every goal has to be academic, but if you are setting goals that are just making you a better version of yourself, you will start to do better academically. It improves all aspects of your life.
Yeah, I think they start to feel better about themselves, that they can do something. And it doesn't seem so overwhelming, like, yes, of course, I can do this one question. Or, and so then they realize, oh, I can learn, I'm capable of what is expected of me. And it just gets better and better and better.
You know, that really is an interesting concept that you brought up, Danny, just this idea that once you start to achieve goals in one area of your life, you find that you start to, that snowballs into other areas of your life. You know, it's not just an academic goal, but now maybe a physical goal or maybe a social goal or all these other areas. It just seems like once you start meeting your objectives, you want to have more of that in your life.
Oh, I was going to say, and then the goals just get bigger. And as, I mean, right now I teach 12, 13, 14 year olds. And so I don't remember goals being a huge part of my life when I was 13. And so I think for a lot of these kids, it's the foundation of hopefully what will propel them into greatness as adults. So that's the idea, at least behind them.
Yeah,
absolutely. And I think too, like, even if they don't continue, maybe after they're in your class, maybe they don't continue setting goals, but maybe like 10 years down the road, something hits them and they're like, oh, I have done this before when I was in eighth grade. And then the actual, you know, lesson sinks in and hits them. I think that a lot of times about things that I learned in junior high and high school that just now like hit me as an adult, like, oh,
my teachers did know what they were talking about.
Yes.
Michelle, one of the questions that I'm kind of curious about is accountability, or having kind of a partner or somebody that is trying to help you along on that path of reaching your goals. I'm sure that that's one of the roles that you play. What other people or groups do you get involved to help the students as kind of an accountability partner?
So in our AVID class, we have what we call collaboration buddies or study buddies. And so those people should be who you check in with. I also have the students check in with me. We do like a Wednesday check. How are you doing with your goal? And, you know, a Friday accountability check. Did you accomplish your goal? But I think it's important for them to include their peers and parents is a really important one. The more I get to know these students, the more I see that it really matters to most of them what their parents think of them, and they want to make their parents proud. And so that's a perfect place to start. Like, tell your parents your goals, tell them how you're doing, tell them if you fall short, what can they do to help you, to support you. So I think parents is probably number one, and then peers is a good one too.
That's awesome. And I'm really impressed that both of you have resisted saying the word accountability buddy. So
I don't even know if I can say that.
I know. That's a tongue twister.
All right.
Say that five times fast.
Nope. So I'm wondering, along with accountability, what about like intrinsic or extrinsic rewards? So with the planner that I use every single day, there's monthly goals. And at the beginning of the month, you write down what you're going to give yourself if you reach that goal. What kind of incentives do you encourage your students to use?
Well, honestly, I've just kind of relied on the intrinsic rewards that they feel proud of themselves. I haven't thought about, I mean, and besides the reward of seeing their grades go up, that's, I guess, an extra.
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably better as an intrinsic goal as well.
Right.
Well, that's a good question, though. I mean, Rochelle, maybe we can talk about this just for a second. What do we think about the idea of extrinsic rewards? I know a lot of teachers use those as part of their classroom management strategies, and we do that with a lot of, you know, clubs and different activities outside of school. How do you feel about extrinsic rewards as part of the goal setting the kids do?
I mean, honestly, I will use Jolly Ranchers sometimes in class. It's amazing what a 13-year-old will do for a Jolly Rancher. And so sometimes that's just to get them back on track and going. But I think the intrinsic's where it lasts, where it stays and where it will be maintained. But I mean, I use extrinsic rewards sometimes.
Yeah, I know myself, and I know I'll do about anything for a new pair of yoga pants. So it's the only way I'm going to meet the 30-day goal.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I mean, maybe I should have my students focus on what they can reward themselves with if they reach their goals.
That's a good idea. So thinking about that, what can parents do at home? So you talked about the student side, you know, sharing the goal with your parents, letting them know if you succeeded or did not, or what you need to do differently. How can parents be supportive of that kind of effort at home?
I think number one is same as in the classroom. If you have good communication with your student and find out, or with your child, and you find out what's important to them and what they're trying to accomplish and what they want to accomplish, that's a good jumping off point. I'm sure most parents do that. And then sit down and write out some of the specifics. There's a lot of times kids say things like, oh, I want to get better grades, but what does that look like? And so for parents to sit down and say, okay, well, this is where we're at now. What do you mean by better grades? What classes do you want to improve in? What scores? Is there a test you can retake or whatever? And so if parents are involved in those goals and understanding what's important to their student, I think they can better help them with the specifics, because sometimes kids don't, like I said in the beginning, they don't always see the necessary steps to get to their end game or their end goal. And so for parents to sit down and go, okay, so you want to make the varsity football team, here's what you need to do. And so that would be helpful, I think.
You know, it's interesting. Just, I mean, all of my kids are teenagers now, so we go through this quite a bit. And my daughter is definitely a goal setter. I mean, that's something that she'll do without any encouragement or any kind of discussion with us. My boys are very different, right? My boys both kind of get overwhelmed by the idea of goal setting or of trying to set their own agendas. So it's a real balance for parents and for probably you as the teacher of when do you step in and kind of prompt them to reach a little bit further versus when are we kind of setting goals for them? Any thoughts about how you kind of try to maintain that balance in your classroom of you kind of moving from encouragement to kind of directing them in some of their goals?
So usually I let them start with the goals by what's important to them. However, I do discuss with them if you're reaching your goal too easily, if you set a goal today and then it's done tomorrow, can you step it up? Can you increase the amount of work that is required for a goal? Can you do harder things? And so I'll have those conversations with them, but ultimately they have to want it or it's not going to happen.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Like the end of the term is happening as we speak, right? In Granite School District. And one of my sons was bragging about the fact that he was about to get a 2 in one of his classes. And I said, that's not something to brag about, right? like for him, his goal may have been that if he gets below a 2, then he'll have some kind of a punishment at home or something, right? Like he'll lose a privilege or something like that. But that's not a goal for him to shoot for. And we're trying to encourage him, like, you know, just because we kind of establish a little bit of a what's expected at our home, don't make that your goal. Make that like the world just collapsed and everything went wrong.
Scenario.
That's what I got. Yeah. Like yeah. That shouldn't be your strategy is to shoot for that.
And I think if you know the students, if you know your child very well, you know that if their goal is to get a 2, if that's just like a cop-out, like, phew, I made it, I'm not going to get grounded. Or for some kids, getting a 2 is a very big deal and they should be very proud of themselves. So it just depends on their skill set and their strengths. And,
you know, you said something, a few things actually, that have kind of been clicking with me. And the first one was that most kids want their parents to be proud of them. And then the second thing is you were talking about parents knowing what's going on with their class and checking in with their kids. And you said, I think that's probably something most parents do. And I think junior high is just that really transitional time where parents are less engaged than they were in elementary school. And kids may not be as engaged as they are in high school, because in high school, we always have that like graduation dangling over us. And so I think junior high is a really great time to kind of practice that as a parent, to check in with our kids and say like, hey, what are your goals? What are you working towards? And then have them write down the steps with your help of how they're going to get there, because they are kind of starting to, you know, take the reins of their educational goals. So I think that's really, really awesome.
Yeah, it's an amazing time and it's a weird time. Junior high is the worst. But,
it's the best and the worst, right?
It is. I love teaching junior high, but it is hard sometimes to get kids to care about their own education because it doesn't quite count and they know it doesn't count. And I try to tell them these habits that you're forming now, that's going to go with you into high school. You're not going to magically all of a sudden do fantastic in school because it starts counting. But yeah, it's a weird time. And sometimes they don't want to talk to parents or adults that much. And they're not as engaged as they were in elementary or as they will be in high school. So it's
right. Tough. Well, and you're bonding with your students as you're talking about goal setting and checking in with them. So I think this has been awesome. Rochelle, it's been great to have you on the show.
Thank you. It's been fun.
Thanks, Rochelle. Good to talk with you about this. I know we're going to be having some conversations in my home this weekend about the second half of the year and what goals we can set.
Bum, bum, bum.
The perfect time to start new goals.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Thank you.
So Danny, do you want to give the laser teacher tech tip for today?
Ugh. Do we have to do a tech tip today?
Well, this is kind of a podcast about technology, it might be useful.
I just don't have anything today. I'm tired. My brain cells are not firing. I don't want to. Do you want to?
All right, Jared. I have to say that I have really been picking up the slack lately on the tech tips. So maybe your new goal should be to do the next 2 tech tips. See how that's small and something you could accomplish?
That's a little overwhelming. Can we just say that I'll introduce you when you do the tech tip next time?
No, but you can do the next one for sure. So some tools that might help you with that. So I used to be a paper planner person. I think elementary school teachers like understand the need for paper to write something down.
By the way, that was really good alliteration. You were a paper planner person?
Yes, absolutely. Now I couldn't say it again if you asked me to. but I've recently switched to a digital planner. The one that I mentioned in the podcast earlier is called Commit 30, and it has you set a goal each month and then gives you a place to track it in your planner. So that's a great option, and you can do it on your iPad or you can get a paper version of it. The tech part about it, though, is I wanted to bring up that there are some really good apps that are habit trackers or help you set goals. The 2 that I wanted to mention, the first one is called Productive, and it just has you set a few goals on there. You can even challenge yourself, and it kind of encourages you to, you know, try harder, that sort of thing. And then there's another one that's called Streaks. And what it does is it tracks your streaks. So that can be really motivating. Ask anyone who, like, what's the Snapchat thing? The streaks on Snapchat? Like, the kids know, Jared. Don't look at me like that.
You're talking to the wrong person.
Well, streaks on Snapchat can be very motivating for communication. But what streaks does is it can help you track things that you don't do. Like I'm trying to avoid, you know, second cup of coffee, or things that you do want to do. Like you're going to exercise every day or go on a walk every day. So streaks and Productive are two apps that you might want to look into.
Love it. No, those are great motivational tools for us as we get going on our goals for this year.
Awesome.
Well, Danny, I feel very inspired that we can meet and achieve great things this year. I'm really glad that we talked about how to help students set goals for themselves.
Absolutely. And talking with Rochelle was great because she had like just a really good perspective on student goal setting. I think sometimes, especially with younger kids, it's too long and they don't get, you know, immediate feedback that they're doing the right thing. And so I love the idea that she talked about in class, like, okay, what's the goal for today? What are you going to do today? And I think that that's a great way to start off any class. So I really appreciated her.
You know, I was also really interested in the topic that we got into today about junior high kind of being that sweet spot where your parents are and teachers are kind of starting to take a little bit of a back seat, meaning they want to let the kids kind of explore being an individual and being responsible for themselves, but also at the same time, not just letting them fall off the cliff, right? And being that kind of support that the kids need.
Yeah, absolutely. Cheers to all of the junior high teachers. Bless their hearts.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed our episode today, and we hope you go out and set some good goals for yourself and your own students.
Indeed. Thank you, everyone.